The word today is bargain. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. In shops and bazaars across the world, people bargain for items, debating the value of an item until they agree on the selling price. We do not normally think of trying to work a deal with God. But in the Old Testament, there were times when people pleaded with God, and he changed his mind. Here to lead us in further consideration of this curious type of prayer is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Bargain.
Have you ever tried to make a deal with God? I know that sounds bad. Just the phrase, making a deal with God, sounds like something sinful or something really wrong. And yet today we're going to learn that there were individuals, especially in the Old Testament, persons like Abraham and Moses, who literally got God to change his mind. We're going to spend a few minutes thinking about prayers that changed God's mind. For instance, we go to Genesis chapter 18, and there is a conversation between Abraham and the Lord. By the way, when I say prayers that changed God's mind, let's be reminded that prayer is nothing other than conversation with the Lord. If you come to God in your heart and mind, sometimes people pray out loud to God. That's conversation with God. That's the core of what prayer is in the Christian faith. So when we go to the Old Testament and we see our spiritual forebears, like Abraham, when they are talking with God, that constitutes the same kind of conversation that we can have with God today, discussing with him what's on our mind. And there was something very heavy on Abraham's mind this particular day when the Lord and two angels came to visit him, as the Lord was going to go down to Sodom, a city in the plains near the Dead Sea that was full of wickedness and corruption, and the Lord was going to put an end to the inhabitants of that city. Abraham knew this. And so in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "Then the Lord said, 'The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down there and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know.' The men turned away and went down towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, 'Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?' The Lord said, 'If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake.' Then Abraham spoke up again, 'Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is five less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there,' he said, 'I will not destroy it.'" And that conversation continues on. It's, in a sense, kind of like a bargaining session between Abraham and the Lord, because Abraham continues to come back again and again, whittling down the number of people as the absolute minimum that the Lord would use as a standard to save the entire city. It comes out in the end that God lowers that standard to 10 people. And he finally says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. This is quite an amazing situation here, and I'd like for us to think about the dynamics of this conversation and to maybe apply this to our own conversation to God. The first thing to note is that God is willing at times to listen to people and to change his mind. This is quite an amazing thing because in so many other religions in the world, there's not even a personal God to talk to. There's not even anybody to communicate to. Remember, the Judeo-Christian heritage is that there is one God, the Creator. He's a personal God. And as he reveals himself in the Bible, as it moves from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we find out that God is not only personal, but that he's three persons in one God. He is a Father, the Son, who took on human flesh in order to redeem us from our sins, and the Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells within us. So this is quite a personal God, and he invites conversation with us. He wants our prayers and our interaction with him. And because of that, there's times where our will does not line up with God's. Sometimes we see things that are happening and we're concerned or we're worried and we come to God and discuss. There's many instances in the scriptures where the Lord, because of the pleas of his people, like for instance, I'm thinking of the Israelites languishing under the tyranny of the Egyptians. They call out for relief, and God said that he has heard the wailing. He has heard the struggling of his people. Well, this gets God to act. He can change his mind. In this particular case, he was going down to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities in the plain, because of their sin of homosexuality and also the sin of gluttony. And yet here is Abraham. He is pleading for these people. Why? Well, because his nephew Lot and his family were living in the town of Sodom. So actually, this bargaining that takes place is from self-interest. Abraham is not so generous that he is thinking about all these unrelated people and he's feeling such wonderful compassion for the lost. No, it's his own family he's concerned about. And that shows us something kind of sad about the sinful human nature. Often we don't care all that much about what's happening to somebody else who's unrelated to us. No, we care mostly about our own flesh and blood and the people close to us. That's how sinful humans work. Christians can have a degree of compassion generated by the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus, but even that we don't do terribly perfectly. The fact of the matter is that most of the compassion and concern for other people comes from God. He's the one that sends our Redeemer, our Savior. Humans often don't care all that much, and it's sad, but it's true. The Lord God is the one who has mercy and grace and compassion in his Son, Jesus Christ, and he proves it by letting his Son die on that cross in order to bring humanity forgiveness of sins. You know, what's happening here with Abraham and God is like a Middle Eastern bargaining session. I had some fun on several trips to Israel as I led tours, bargaining with individuals. If I found a t-shirt that I wanted in a Arab shop or some other item, I would bargain friendly with the individual, and it could be quite a bit of fun as you try to come to the terms of the sale. Well, this was not just having fun. This was a life or death ordeal. Abraham is trying to take the number down the lowest he can to give the best chance for his nephew and his family to be saved. Notice the grace of God. Notice how God is willing to keep letting the standard be lower, 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 that the wicked might not be destroyed. You got to keep this in mind. God gives time for the sinful and the wicked to repent. You'd better be listening to this. If you're living a life of disdain and disobedience to God, he's giving you time to repent. The time won't last forever. You need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ now. You know, if your family member or some other person in the town or village has been talking to you that you need to come to the Lord Jesus, you better think seriously about that. If you're in America and you have heard the preachers on the TV, or you know that the pastor down the street is calling you to a righteous life, you better give some thought to that, because the deal doesn't last forever. Eventually, the wrath of God comes, and you don't want to get caught up in that. You don't want to be condemned. God damned these people and destroyed these people for their wanton wickedness. You don't want to have to go through that. God is ultimately a God of mercy, but he will not put up forever with disruption and defiance against him. It reminds me of the days of Noah, where humanity is described as being consumed with evil, thinking evil all the time. Jesus said that in Matthew 24, in the latter days, the love of most will grow cold. In Luke 18, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now is the day of repentance. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says, and I encourage you to take that invitation. But isn't it an amazing thing that God is willing to listen to us? Isn't it wonderful that he's willing to hold back his wrath? He's willing to bargain with us? Make it clear in your mind, you can't manipulate God. But he does invite you to come with your concerns and worries. We're his children in Jesus Christ, and he's attentive to what we have to say. He'll listen to our requests, and yes, once in a while, he will even change his mind and relent, and he will always do what is best for us, for our eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.